good morning. Are you enjoying the summer? So far, so good. And I'm enjoying summer because I'm going back on Tuesday and I'll be reaching Singapore on Thursday, and I was told it's something like this. And so I think probably the Lord is preparing me to enjoy summer over there. Yeah. Let me start by saying thank you to your pastor for giving me the opportunity to be with you. And also thank you because you're also going to listen to what the Lord have for us today. It's always a joy to come together as a church, as the body of Christ, to praise Him, to exalt Him, and also to listen to God's Word. And I was just enjoying the singing because the hymns reminded me how faithful is our God. And we can trust a God who's so wonderful in our lives, is always there. The first three hymns that we just sung, I think it reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength. And I believe that. Do you believe that? We can always run to Him, right, to be recharged and to be in constant fellowship with Him. And so I think I believe God is going to speak to us today. And I believe the Lord wants to enrich us, motivate us, as the prophet says that God's word will continue to shape us. Let's look to God in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because we are not alone in this place. We thank you, Lord, because your presence is here with us. Your word says where two or three are gathered, your presence is felt. And so, Lord, we come with that confidence, knowing that we are here in the awesome presence of you. Lord, help us, Lord, not only to acknowledge, but help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your presence. Give us ears to listen to your word, and give us hearts, O God, to be found obedient. We thank you because we believe and we worship a God we can always call upon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was singing the hymns, I was reminded, you know, that life presents us with a lot of things. Or in other words, in life we have too many issues, too many big problems to face. And in a world like today, I think we are not only bombarded with what's happening in the world, but I think we have a lot of challenges that we need to run across or even go across. And I believe, you know, I'm speaking to a group of people who do have challenges, right? We have challenges in our life. In every stage of our life, we do have challenges. And that's why when you look at the Word of God, almost 365 words speaks about fear not, because God is with us 365 plus 1 days in our life. And that's why the Lord says, do not fear because I'm with you. God knows what's happening in our lives. God knows the many hurdles, the many challenges that we are facing. And I believe, you know, I worship a God. Nothing is too impossible for Him. Right? God is the God who is able to do great and wonderful things. The passage that I'd like to read to you today is found in the Gospel according to Mark. It's a very familiar passage. Mark chapter 5. And let me read a couple of verses from Mark chapter 5. Jesus comes to this particular town in verse 21 onwards. And three things happened, but let me just look at two things which is happening in this particular passage. Mark chapter 5, 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. Mark chapter 5, right, verse 21 onwards. And pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years.
She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I shall touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from all suffering. And I think if you go on, you know, you can read, you know what's her story. She gets healed, and Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And she comes forward by saying, you know, that she was the person. And the Lord not only healed her, the Lord said, "Your faith has healed you." And then he went into the house of Jairus to be healed, right? And that was the story. And if you look at this particular passage, you know, I see quite a number of people here in this particular passage. If you read verse 31, it says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat by the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him." Very interesting. A large crowd of people gathered around Jesus. And I believe this large crowd, there were people with a lot of needs, a lot of difficulties in life. And I believe they came. But unfortunately, you know, they were not healed. They were around Jesus. They came, they listened, they've heard about him. But sad to say, they came and they left the way they came without being touched or even experiencing a healing in their life. You know, sometimes I think there are many churchgoers today. They go to church, they sing, they raise their hands and say hallelujah. They give the offerings to God. They shake hands with their friends and they leave without being touched, without experiencing the power of God in their life. They go back the way they came. And that was the crowd. They came around Jesus. There are a lot of issues in life, but they came and they left the same way. That was the crowd that surrounded Christ. In verse 24, if you read, there was another group of people who came. They pushed around him. Very interesting word in the Greek text. It means, you know, they were touching Jesus. You know, their elbows was touching. It was a very narrow road, and they pushed around him. And this particular group of people came to Jesus and said, you know, "Jesus, come to Jairus' house, because we want you. We want you to come and touch the daughter who's dying." And so there are some Christians, you know, who push the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you know, they call him and they'll say, "Lord, this is what I want you to do in my life." Right? "I want you to do this in my life. Nothing else. Nothing more." In other words, we want Christ to do this, do that in my life, but do not interfere in any areas of my life. But whenever I call you, I want you to come and to do this great thing in my life. I believe these Christians are called the pushed Christians, right? They like to push Jesus around. Push Jesus around. But unfortunately, the word says, you know, they were not touched too. Sometimes I believe, I call such Christians cafeteria Christians. You know why? When you go to a cafeteria, you choose what you want, right? If you don't want, you know, you pass. And similarly, there are some Christians, you know, they choose. They say, "Lord, this is what I want. This is what I don't want." I was reading St. Augustine of Hippo, and these were the great words of St. Augustine. He said, "If you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject what you don't like in the gospel," in other words, he says, actually, you're not believing the gospel, you're believing yourself. In other words, if you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject what you don't want to be part of your life, Augustine says, you are not believing the God of the gospel, but you are believing yourself. And that's the kind of Christians, right? We choose what we want. We want these particular things in my life. I feel comfortable. I feel nice doing this. But there are certain things that challenges my life. There are certain things I need to surrender to God. I do not want that to happen. I don't want God to interfere in every part of my life. In other words, you are believing yourself, my friend. It is not believing the gospel. But very interestingly, you know, I see another group of people here. I see the Jairus here, and I also see a nameless lady who comes. They were there, but they were touched. And I believe, I think this is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be in the crowd where they listen, you know, they left without being experiencing the presence of God. And I don't think God wants us to push him around and say, Lord, this is what I want you to do. But I think God wants us to be like this nameless woman, at the same time, this great person, this synagogue official. Very two extremes in this particular passage. You see a synagogue official, you know, he's a man of stature, a family man, a man of means. He had everything in his life, right? People respected him in the society, you know. He was there, right up there, right? He had all the name and all the money. He had everything in his life. But the word of God says, but the daughter is ill, and that's something that he cannot do. Nothing in his life can heal the child. Then you see another extreme. Then you see another lady, a nameless lady. She had been bleeding for the past 17 years. According to the Jewish law, if you're bleeding for the past 17 years, you're not to be seen in the crowd. You can't mingle. You can't touch someone. You're considered an outcast. Right? You are a social outcast by the Jews. Now she, even her name was not mentioned. She was not even allowed to enter the synagogue. That was the rule of the day. You are not allowed to enter the synagogue. She have lost all her money. No family. I don't see any family around. She have tried everything. The other extreme, right? She had nothing. You know, I like this particular passage because it speaks to me of God who's not only able to touch the rich, but also the poor, the needy. In other words, God is able to do great and wonderful things in our lives, whoever we are, in whatever position we are in whatever in position in life we are in. The Lord is able to do great and wonderful things in our life, provided we have this called faith. You know, too many of us have faith, but whether do we have the faith of this particular people, like Jairus, whether we have faith like this two people, right? I think there was reading this article by this person by the name of Corey. He said, if all things are possible with God, then all things are possible to him who believes in God. Right? If all things are possible with God, then all things are possible to him who believes in God. Whether we have that kind of faith is very important. Three things which let me leave with you behind today. You know, when you look at these two people, what was happening? You know, they came to Jesus despite their obstacles. In other words, they had difficulties in life. They have obstacles in life. They came to Jesus despite the obstacle. Can you imagine Jairus coming to Jesus? It was not easy for Jairus to come. You know why? He was a synagogue official. In those days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were against the Lord Jesus. They were unhappy with his teaching because they felt his teaching and the many things that he was saying was very radical, and they didn't want Jesus to be around. But this man was a official, and not only that, you know, according to the text, you realize he was also the chairman of the board of elders. Right, a very important position. He was a chairman of the board of elders. And if you read the passage very carefully, the Pharisees and Sadducees were just coming after Christ because they want to, you know, kill him. But this man came to Jesus, right? A synagogue official. Just imagine the kind of pride he will have being an official. At the same time, the kind of fear he would have. If I come to see Jesus, I will be rejected by my people. If I come to Christ, I will be rejected by my people. Back in Singapore, I have a church member. He is a Muslim. he's born Muslim, his parents are Muslim, you know, and he came to me and he said, you know, Pastor, I have come because I love Jesus and I know I'm rejected by my family. My family have disowned me because I've become a Christian. Jairus came. He overcame his obstacle, which was pride. You know, if I go to the public, you know, people recognize me as the chairperson of the synagogue. And synagogue, you know, he was a great person. You know, it is difficult for me, a person of that high rank, to come to the feet of Jesus. He overcame his pride. And there was also a fear of rejection. My people reject me because we are after Jesus, but because I'm going there, they will not be happy with what I'm doing. He came despite his obstacles. And secondly, when you look at this lady, you realize she was unclean. She was not expected to be seen in the crowd. Can you imagine the sense of shame that was in her? You know, I can't go to the public. I can't mingle with the crowd. I'm a social outcast. And when people see me, they will be surprised. They will be annoyed. They will chase me away. The sense of shame in her and also the fear. But she came to Jesus. I think it is important for us, whatever obstacles we have. I think that kind of faith Jesus is wanting in our lives. There are certain things that will always hinder us from coming. But we need to come. We need to overcome our pride, our fear. Right? And say, Lord, I come. And both of them came to the Lord Jesus Christ and how they were healed. And secondly, we realize not only they came to Christ. You know, I like this word. They persisted in the presence of God. You know, many Christians, they come to Christ and they have faith. But whether they persist in their faith, that is an important thing. The crowd came and they left. They left without anything. People pushed him around and they left without anything. But this man, Jairus, came. He persisted. This lady, she was persisting. She was coming around to Jesus because she knew that, you know, I need this Christ in my life. And when I was looking at this passage, I was trying to see Jairus. Can you imagine? His friends are coming and telling him, you know, your daughter is going to die. Don't waste your time. Don't waste time. Your daughter is going to die. You know, I was just imagining Jairus is standing and Jesus is trying to say, who touched me? You know, and Jesus is trying to talk to this lady. I'm just trying to imagine, you know, Jairus would have been just biting his nails. You know, my daughter is dying. Right? In a second she'll be gone. I need him badly. But even then, I think what was happening, he stayed around. I think that is faith. He was persisting, though, you know, he was invited back. He was persisting in his faith. I think that is very important for us. Sometimes I ask myself, why, you know, the Lord was engaging with this lady and giving some time for Jairus. You know, Adrian Rogers says, a faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. A faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. In other words, I believe the Lord was delaying it because he wanted to test the faith of Jairus. He wanted to make sure that this man came because of faith. It's not because he wants something to happen in the life of the daughter. He was there because of faith. And so faith, true faith, have to be tested, my friend. And then it can be trusted. And sometimes God, you know, will test our faith so that he will know that whether we can be trusted by him. And then what happened? I think this lady also, if you realize, she also did not give up. Right? She did not give up. She was there persisting, right, in the presence of God. When I read that particular passage, I realized there were a number of incidents in the Bible you read. You know, you read about the friend who came at midnight in Mark 11:5-8. He was persisting. unless you give me bread, because I have a guest in my house, unless you open the door and give me bread, I'm not going to leave you. And I think God expressed such kind of faith in our life. We need to be persisting faith. And when you read Mark 18, the first 8 verses, you read about the unjust judge. The widow comes and she's persisting. I want justice. She was persisting. I think the Lord expects us to persist in our faith. And we need to be found persisting in our faith. And lastly, let me leave with the last one. You know, we trust God despite what others say or do. We trust God despite what others say or do. When you look at the story of Jairus, you know, they were saying, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. Can you imagine? Your daughter is dead. Do not disturb the master. Right? In other words, get real, Jairus. Get real. It's no point. You know, sometimes I believe many Christians, we limit God. Have you realized? We come to God and we bring issues which is beyond our ability. Right? We pray for things which is too difficult for us. The other things we don't, because we can handle ourselves. Right? We only bring to God because, you know, there are certain things. And, you know, sometimes some people will say, get real, it's no point. Right? It's no point praying. It's no point seeking. It's no point. But you know what happened? Jairus, you know, he was there because he did not bother what others have to say or do. Because it's either Jesus or people. And today I think this is what God is wanting us. Whether you want to listen to what people have to say or whether what Christ have to say for us. Jairus, listen to the Lord. And that's why you realize, you know, the daughter was healed. And similarly, when you look at the women, you know, I believe, you know, people have so told her, her relatives would have said, you know, it's no point, right? Maybe you're in your last days. Nothing is going to happen in your life. It's no point, right? This is going to be the end of your life. But she did not give up. Right? Whatever people said, she went to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, let me share with you a story that took place in history, a true story, and let me close with that. I believe you have heard about this man, Winston Churchill. Where is he from? Not from Canada. Yeah. Great statesman from the United Kingdom. I was reading his story. I was fascinated because during the later part of his life, Winston Churchill was actually invited to speak at a commencement. He was supposed to give a commencement address. You know, his name was called, and Winston Churchill, with much difficulties, you know, because he was very old, you know, he came to the podium. He took his time. And very interesting, he did not say much. And these were the words of Winston Churchill. He said, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. And he went back to his seat. I do not know the context he said that. But when I hear that words, I think this is what the Lord is also telling us. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Because people will say, get real, but never give up. Because nothing is impossible in the sight of God. Never give up, my friend. The last song we are going to sing today, it's a very powerful song, Jesus, I Love You. I think it will be good for us when we sing that song to tell Jesus how much we love Him. When we really love Him, we will have some kind of experience in our life. Because when you read that passage, you realize when she touched Jesus, something happened. When you touch Christ, something happens in your life, my friend. You will never leave this place without experiencing His goodness. When she touched Christ, something happens. You know, you cannot. And if you have touched Jesus today, you will never leave the place the same you came. Let's pray. Dear friends, I really do not know what's happening in your life. But I believe, deep in my heart, this is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to do something. He doesn't want you to leave this place the way you came. We are here in the awesome presence of God, the God who have created the heavens and the earth. He is here with us. And today the Lord wants us to touch Him. Very few incidences in the Bible you read that someone touched Jesus. When you touch Him, you're not the same anymore. When you touch Him in faith, your life is not the same anymore. The Lord doesn't want us to be like the crowd who came, who sang songs, and they left unchanged. The Lord doesn't want to be like people who are just pushing Him around. The Lord wants us to experience Him. Why don't you touch Him in faith? Tell Him, Lord, You're my refuge and my strength, my fortress. I come because I know it's only You. God, we thank You, Lord, for this day that we can come to Your awesome presence, O God, to experience You. And Father, we pray, help us, Lord, to touch You and to experience Your goodness in our life. We thank You once again. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and I'll see you next month, because I'm leaving to Singapore coming Tuesday. So keep me in your prayers so that I'll reach safely. And I'll be back safely too. God bless.